4 of a message we've entitled Taking Up Our Cross. Something that we need to know about. We began to venture into this message about, I guess maybe, I don't know, well, when it started. Let me look back. I probably got a date on it. December the 6th. So I guess that was last Sunday morning. No, it was actually a Wednesday night, wasn't it? And then Sunday morning, and then last Sunday night in Wake Village. And let me say this, if you missed a part, it was part 3, but it's on my Spreaker account, www.spreaker.com. You can go there and listen to it, or you can sign up for the CD, and we can get you the CD. But I don't break up the messages as far as preaching something different down there than I'm preaching here. It just all flows in me and flows out of me like a river. So wherever we're at, that's where we preach it. And so if you miss a part, well, you can get it. You have access to it. But this is a very important message for the church because it is a teaching on what it means to take up your cross. The first message was concerning what it really means to take up your cross, and that your cross is not your sickness or your hard times or your anything. Your cross is the cross you were slain on, crucified on with Christ. There's only one cross. We were crucified with Him at Calvary. There's only one cross. Your cross, my cross, is the cross that we were crucified on with Christ. And we learned in that first message that all the things that the religious church and the church who doesn't know the truth as far as living the sanctified life through faith in the cross daily, what they don't know is when they go into like fasting and things, they do the silly things that we used to fall prey to, which is fasting sweets or fasting meat or fasting this or that. And it was never for the purpose of taking up our cross. And denial is not acknowledged by God if the result is not taking up your cross and following Jesus. And taking up your cross is simply making sure that your faith is still exclusively, and I mean exclusively, in the cross of Christ alone. We got in through the blood. We were drawn nigh to God by the blood. And we only approach the throne as the children of God by faith in the blood. Amen. We only walk with the Lord through faith in the blood. Jesus does not have to go to the cross ever again. He went once. He took care of the sin issue one time. And that was it. He'll never go again. But you and I are required to take up our cross daily. That means we're required by God, if we're going to follow Christ, be followers of Christ, be disciples of Christ, to take up our cross daily. Amen. And that means looking back at the sacrifice that was given for us. That is your cross, and you are required to be a disciple that you take up your cross. Amen, Brother Curtis. If you disagree with what I'm teaching, you're a part of the problem in the church today. Instead of a solution here in the earth, is God's answer for the dilemma as your testimony and your faith in and your message being that of what Christ did at Calvary and not what you have to go do. Amen. And those who understand that wouldn't dare sit in a church any longer where they're not focused on and teaching and preaching this message. Where that church is not known for that. They're just known for that. All the community's got to say, all they do is preach the cross. All they do is teach the cross. And those Christians that are out there who say, well, there's more than that. They're a problem. They're the reason the church is in the shape it's in. Amen. Thank you. That's how the church got in the mess we're in today, by looking away and thinking that everything was about other than what Christ did at Calvary. That's how we got in the mess. We begin to think that taking up our cross was our sickness or our loss of job or our loss of loved one or our loss of whatever or some horrible thing. Those are things that's going to happen to everybody, that you better know what it means to take up your cross, because that ain't your cross, but you better know what it means to take up your cross so you'll make it through those situations in the God way that you should make it through. Because you won't if you don't know how to take up your cross. The bluntness of it all is this. If you don't know what it means to take up your cross, you cannot follow Jesus. So how many thousands, possibly millions today, refuse to listen to a preacher of the cross, refuse to think that taking up your cross is faith in the cross of Christ alone, not allowing anything to tamper with that, to hinder that. However many the number is, they're not disciples. They're churchgoers. They're pew sitters. They're Bible readers. They're good work doers. And so be all that, but there'll be no benefit for them because all the benefits flow from those who are following Christ as disciples who are required to take up a cross to be in that process. I'm just talking Bible this morning. I'm just talking Bible. Call me on the phone. Send me an email if you disagree, and I'll just put the scriptures out there for you. Go back and listen to the scriptures that's already been given. You're not following Jesus if you're not a disciple. There is no difference between Christianity and discipleship, although the church has made there to be a difference. Well, you're in and you're a Christian till you learn to be a disciple. No, the moment you said yes to Jesus and had faith in the cross, you were already learning to be able to get that far. To get in, you had to learn something. And that made you a disciple. You begin to follow Christ in His way, which is the way of the cross. The moment you believed, you were following Christ. You became a disciple immediately. Because when you got born again, it's because you took up your cross. You didn't explain that. You couldn't have explained that then. But that's exactly what happened. You took up, by believing in His cross and what was accomplished there for you, your cross. Later you learned how to explain that. You learned what really happened there. The early church was in the same predicament. John, Peter, the early disciples, Andrew, they didn't have a clue what really took place at Calvary until the Lord gave that revelation to Paul. They didn't know. The devil knew because there he was defeated. Amen. So it's important that you and I come to the conclusion that there is no following Jesus without being a disciple. And there is no discipleship without taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. It takes a cross to follow Jesus. So the folks who don't want to hear about the cross, the folks who they think there's more than that, they are not, emphatically not, absolutely not, even though they want to be and think they are not disciples of Christ. Jesus said that most won't agree with you. Jesus said most won't go this narrow way. There will be only few that find it. Thank God that you found it. Thank God that you found it. Everybody say, thank God that I found it. Hallelujah. He showed it to you. He showed it to you. He brought you to a place where you said, I've got to have that. You're a disciple. Listen, this is a house of disciples. This ain't a house of folks who just want to show up and sit on the back row and think that all that they just help folk. Now, you ain't helping nobody if you're not a disciple. I don't care if you're feeding them and clothing them and feeding them again and clothing them again. I don't care if you're reading the Bible to them every day. If you're not a disciple, there is no flow of Jesus through you. Well, I just don't like this kind of teaching. Well, you better get your heart fixed. The church needs to hear what this preacher's saying. The church needs to hear what any preacher that's pointing to the cross is saying, because it's God's only way. Discipleship classes in the early evening of churches around our region. Oh, come to our discipleship classes. If they're not pointing to the cross, there ain't no discipleship going on. We're only being discipled if we're following Christ, and that requires a cross. It's a mandate. You can't follow Him because you're in church every week. I can't say it enough, because there's people who sit in our service week after week who don't understand what we're talking about. If they did, they'd draw a little closer, and it'd be more evident when they do. Then I begin to minister on, there's nine things I want to minister. I've only ministered the first three so far of the reasons that you've got to take the cross up. The reason you must take up your cross And I've already listed, just talked to you about the most important, because you're not following Jesus if you don't. People who want to go to heaven don't get to go because they want to go. People who want to serve Jesus don't get to serve him just because they want to serve him. Romans 6 gives the criteria of how we serve God. Outside of that, there's no serving God. Amen. I can't preach that enough. The church gets mad when they hear things like I've already said this morning. They get angry because they're religious. They've got a different way instead of the only one way. They're religious. They're listening to some preacher, and they adore some preacher somewhere, some grandma, and they won't hear it. But you better hear it. God has never allowed anybody to tune in by the internet. It may be you today. Or listen to this message in an archive that may be you today. Or visiting the church today that may be you today. It's not by coincidence. It's not by chance. God's going to speak to your heart, and he's going to show you just how narrow this thing really is. And you're going to either surrender to it or you're not. And that's the love and the mercy of God to find you wherever you were and to pull you into this room or into that camera or into wherever to hear this one and only way that God does not play games, and his mercy is not that he lets you go this way and try some other things and they work a little. Nothing else works of God. He's only involved in the truth. He only draws by the message of the cross. He only matures by the message of the cross and your faith in that alone. He only works in the truth. Psalms 33:4 tells us that. And the truth is Christ and him crucified. First three things we mentioned were the reasons where Jesus told us to do so. Do we obey Jesus? Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, we're going to have to believe. If we love him, we'll do what he said. That's what he said. If you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll keep my commands. That's what Jesus said. So if it's written, he said it, you got to do it if you love him. Don't run around telling folk you just love the Lord and trying to look all spiritual and be spiritual and give people words of knowledge, words of wisdom. You better get on away from me. If you're not planted in a church preaching the cross, I ain't listening to you one word. Because you don't yet know and understand the way. You understand that's what got you in, but you don't understand yet that's how you walk while you're in. Jesus told us to do it, so we got to do it. He said it, so I mean, we got to do it. Second reason was because through the cross and the cross alone is our salvation and daily sanctification made possible. Those folks out there who are not disciples because they reject the message of the cross, they don't think they need to hear it. They're beyond that. They are not disciples. They are not in the sanctification process. They think they are, but it's all based on what they're doing. It takes a cross to be sanctified daily. It takes the truth to be sanctified. And the truth is Christ. And him crucified. And I know there are people listening who say, well, okay, brother, but the whole book is the truth. From Genesis to Revelation, let me remind you this morning that Jesus is our Genesis, and Jesus is our Revelation, and Jesus is all that's between. And he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you say you have life, but they are they which testify of me. So the truth is the Word of God written only as it's in the context of the one, the man who said, I am the truth. Amen. Outside of that context, it's just become something that God won't honor in your life. And the third reason I preached in Wake Village last Sunday night is because we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places that cannot be overcome without your faith in the cross. We used to be in a church right down the road here. We thought we could shout the devil down. I want you to know he was right there shouting with us. He loves that. If you think you're overcoming what he's trying to do in your life, in your family, in your marriage, in your money, in your anything, by you shouting at him, oh, he's happy about that because he knows. I said he knows what stripped him of his power. And it wasn't shouting. It was some precious, spotless blood being shed at the cross. Stripped him of his power. All the church and the whole world together without faith in the cross cannot overcome one principality. Even one little power of the devil can't overcome nothing. It's faith in the cross. Alone. Because when we add to it, we remove ourselves from it. That's what happens. When we think we got our faith in the cross, yet we've got our faith in this and this and this that we're doing too, then we remove ourselves from the plan and the working of God. Because it's not the cross of Christ and it's the cross of Christ. Nothing to be added to that. If you add to it, then you're in that part of what might be the church and probably is not the church that thinks that the Word of God in the context of the living Word of God and what He did at Calvary is just not quite enough. Wasn't really finished. You see, that's the problem with the Word of Faith. The Ken Copelands and the Joyce Meyers and all them that have another Jesus, they think they receive a revelation from God that's outside of the written Word of God that Jesus boasted in knowing. And that really tells me that they think God really didn't give us everything we needed. See, that's what the devil says. Did God really say? I got good news for you. God really said it, God really meant it, and God will perform it if you believe it. Let me say that again. God really said it, God really meant it, and if you really believe it, God will perform it in your life. How many of you know you're not called to perform anything? God speaks it, you get the chance to believe it, and if you do, He will perform it. You're not called to perform. You're His workmanship. He's the one working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not mine. He's at work in me. He began a work in me. He's working in me, and He will finish this work in me. If we think we're working our way in, we've worked our way back out. And the fourth reason I'll try to get to this morning, get through rather, is without the cross, the enemy can devour the saint. It goes right along with number three, because we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we don't understand what it means to take up our cross, the devil don't care that there's a church on every corner. He's happy. The devil is happy that folk down here call this the Bible Belt. More churches than you can throw. Man, you could hit a church right here with a .22 rifle, probably about seven of them from right here. He's happy about that. He really is. But he's not happy about you sitting where you're sitting this morning. He's not happy about in the church you're in, because you're sitting in a church with your faith in what crushed his head, what will resist him and make him run like a scared cat. We're going to see that this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8. We're going to deal with this one today. And I don't know. We're not in a hurry to leave because we're all staying and eating today. Well, glory. Don't feel bad. If you got to go at 12, you get up and go. We won't say anything about you till you're gone. We love you. We're going to stay and eat today, but I promise you that food here we eat of in a minute ain't going to compare to what we about to eat this morning in here. Some of y'all able to get so excited this morning hearing the Word of God, you might lose your appetite for that bologna back there. When I walked in the building this morning, I said, Lord, there's a sacrifice in here. I smell it. Number four, another reason, that you've got to take up your cross daily. It's because without your daily cross, the enemy can devour you. And let me tell you something you need to know. If he's devouring you, he's devouring a whole herd of more folks. Because when the Lord is trying to bless your family, He's going to use you to flow through to be a blessing to your family. If the devil's trying to rip and tear and destroy your family, He's going to use you to get in. If he's devouring you, he's going to be able to, the devil I'm talking about, is going to be able to devour people you work with. He's going to be able to devour your family. You're the access through which God wants to do great things. Or you can be the access through which the enemy will do horrible things. Without your cross every day, you are one of those. You're either carrying a cross or you're not. I posted it on Facebook early this morning. You're either at enmity with God because you're in agreement with the devil, or you're at enmity with the devil because you're in agreement with God, but the cross determines which one you're at. If you are denying yourself of what all you've been taught, all that garbage that we had to come to the conclusion of was wrong, and you're taking up your cross, you're keeping your faith in the cross, nothing you do, nothing they're trying to tell me I have to do, but only what Jesus did, and you're following Him, then you're in agreement with God's way, God's plan. And you're going to experience the benefits of that, and your family's going to experience the benefit. Those you work with are going to experience some of that. But if you refuse to come out from among them that are refusing to go this narrow way, then I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You are being used by the enemy because you're being devoured, and if he has found an eating place, he will eat through you to others. We daddies and fathers and husbands need to show enough hear that this morning. If the devil has access to eat you, he's going to eat your wife. He's going to eat your children. He's going to devour everything that pertains to you. So, mister, you better wake up. And you better understand that your house rests on you and the cross you choose to take up daily. It ain't up to your wife. She's got her individual walk with the Lord. It's up to her. But you're the head of the house, men. The devil comes in, daddy, husband, he come in right through you. We don't like that, but it's on us. It's what the Bible teaches. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of men, and men are the head of their family. I know we live in a female, feminist, whatever they call it, equal. We are equal in Christ, and we are to serve and submit one to another. But there is an order of government. Taking your cross up daily will teach you that and give you the grace to walk therein. 1 Peter 5:8. Y'all keep holding me up. 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober. Let me just stop and make a comment about that. Because all we came out of, they told us all for years we were in a place where you just need a good dose of the Holy Ghost. You need to get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You won't find that in the Word of God. What you will find is what we just read. Be sober. Ain't no such thing as being drunk in the Holy Ghost. And if you believe there is, then you're a problem. I don't mind telling you you're a problem. I love you enough to tell you you're a problem. Because you can't back that up with the Word. People who are trying to say things, do things, because they've always heard things, they got to be able to break out of what they've heard and into the new. There's some new knowledge you need to know. I said, there's some new knowledge you need to know. Well, I don't need new. Yeah, you do. The Bible says you better be growing in the grace and the knowledge. You have some new knowledge you need to have. Aren't you glad the message of the cross came into your life and it was new knowledge? Oh, it was there all the time, but it was new knowledge. And you had to believe it. You had to surrender to it, and you had to begin to walk therein. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. That means he can devour folk. But as Brother Lauren said here about a month ago, there's some people the devil just can't touch. Oh, that sounds, I mean, when you first hear that, you're like, well, wait a minute now. Devil has access to it. No, he don't. He don't have access to everybody. We'll see in the scriptures. I said the scriptures. I love the scriptures. See, I blame everything on God. When I catch people off track, I say, well, God said. I don't say, well, we at our church. Because ain't no power in that. But when you say, well, the Bible says, then you bring God in the scene, because what God has said, he didn't waver. So we'll see it here in a minute. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's just an imitator. Our lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Our lion is the one who gave his life as a lamb for us. Hallelujah. Walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, the Bible here tells us how to resist the devil in the faith. That ain't you doing something. That you believe in something. See, the faith is the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. Galatians 2:20. That's the faith. You with me this morning? The faith ain't what you do. The faith is what he did. He fought the good fight of faith and conquered sin, the devil, all principalities, all powers at the cross, making an open show of all of them in his cross. Amen. It's not what, when you start thinking it's what you do, you need to remember that's what got the church off track and in the mess we in. Thinking that we could do something now to resist that. If you think you can resist the devil by something you're doing, he's devouring you. He's devouring you. And he's wasting away other people through you. Oh, even though you think you're right and you are the spiritual one of the town, you're not. I hate to show up and bust your bubble, but I'll pop it in a heartbeat. We got to stick with the Word of God. Instead of floating around like spirit. When we first moved over here, and I got to tell this since we're not in a hurry for time today. When we first moved over here to Cass County, we didn't know nothing except Jesus loved us, died for us, and that's all we know. Didn't know nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Had never heard a message on it. Didn't know anything about it. Never been in the book of Acts except to read Paul's journey. From town to this town to that town, that's all we knew. We got over here, and it's been 20 almost six to 1 years ago, there were a certain group of women in town, and I don't even remember any of them's name, but they were the spiritual ones. Oh. They were the anointing. If you need something, go to them. They're the spiritual ones. And they were having meetings, and they were catching demons in jars. The silliness that we fall prey to when we refuse to walk in the way. The way. The way of the cross. We get carried out. We heard stories of people getting on an airplane, flying to some country that had one of the highest mountains in the world so they could get up on top of the mountain and be up in the air where they thought the devils were. And they could pray and shout them down, the principalities of the air, you see. We can become so stupid without the cross-centered life, you will be devoured. It appears not like you're being devoured sometimes. Those who show up at the great white throne judgment and say, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't we do this in your name? He's going to say, but I never knew you. So see, there's some folk living on the earth today that think they're all about God, all about God's business. They don't have a clue they're being devoured. The dividing line, the point of reference is the cross. Will you accept that as your way? If you don't, you're being devoured. See, the being devoured does not just mean that you had a divorce or your kids hate you and the devil stole your job and now he took you from this greatness and put you down in the dumps living in the cardboard box. He'll do that too. But listen, the worst place to be is to be being devoured when you are religious and nothing more than religious and you think you've got it all going on with God and you have nothing going on with God. That is a place you can walk, and many are. Pharisees were in that place when they crucified our Lord. Many today are in that place because they refuse to come to the place of death. Jesus did not come to make us better. He did not come to rehabilitate us. He came to kill us that we might live again as new creations. There's not an old man that's ever been born into this life who's going to enter heaven. Not one old man will make heaven. Only new people in Christ. It's an impossibility to rehabilitate that old man. He's so wicked. It took God becoming man and dying. And even for the new man to walk his newness out, it takes a cross. It takes the cross. You will take it up daily or you will suffer the consequences. I'm reminded at this moment of being in the Marine Corps and living in a nice room with another guy, and we had a window and we had a door, and it was to the outside, not like a hotel, but it was to the outside, and the only lock in our window was a stick. One day in 2.5 years, we didn't put the stick in the window. They stole everything we had. Thieves broke in. One day without your cross. One day without your cross could bring devastation to your life. I'm reminded at this moment of another story of a man who'd been faithful to his wife and her to him for many, many, many years. And he went on a business trip, and on that day he was seduced by a prostitute and fell to that. And the next morning, one day in all his married years, one time, he got distracted and carried away. And the next morning he woke up and she was gone, but there was something written in red lipstick on the mirror, and it said this: "Welcome to the wonderful world of AIDS." One day, one act, the devil looks for an immediate entrance on you. Today, you're having a pity party. Boom, I'm coming to kill you today. You want to watch this. You want to hang out here. You want to go there, but you won't go to church. I'm killing your kids. I'm a preacher of the gospel to tell you this morning, it's a dangerous thing not to take up your cross, for it's all that resists the devil. It's all that resists him. He cannot be resisted through any other measure. Going to church every week won't resist him. He'll help you get there. I've said it for years. Preachers that show up and got their hankies, and they get up and they hypnotize the people of God with phrases such as, "You just don't know what the devil tried to do to me to keep me from being here today." And if they show up and they're pointing to anything but Calvary, that same one that they say is trying to hinder them from being there, help them stand there that day to deceive the people of God again and to open the door to all the devils and principalities and powers to be able to devour the people of God. If we don't preach the cross, the door is open to the enemy. If we don't stand and proclaim this liberty through the way of the blood, we destroy the house of God. As ministers, we're responsible. I don't want to stand before God one day and have to give an account of why I didn't say what I had to say, because I cared more about what people thought of me and how much money I made or the fame that I had. It's not about any of those things. It's about your life, your soul. It's eternal, and it's on the line every day. Your soul is on the line every day. And I won't stand by for a minute. You might call it judging. You might call it hardness. You might call it meanness. But God calls it mercy and love. John the Baptist out there proclaiming, repent. Well, who does he think he is? Camel hair. Look at him. Ain't shaving. Look at him out there. Eating wild locusts and honey too, you say. And telling us we got to repent. Look at him. No, don't look at him. Listen to his message. Don't look at where he lives. Don't look at what he drives. Don't look at how he looks. Look at what he's saying. Let us not be reduced to natural and fleshly means, attracted to other people through anything other than the faith. So we see our adversary is the devil. And he's only as a roaring lion. And he's walking about. And he's seeking right now, who can I devour? He never stops. He's kind of like the angels that God created to never stop circling the throne, crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they had never got tired of it one time. Well, let me tell you something about the devil. He never sleeps. He never rests. He never stops trying to devour whoever he finds he can devour. Who is that? Anybody without a cross. Anybody who doesn't have their faith exclusively in the cross. He's devouring them. Doesn't matter if it appears that way or not. He's devouring them. It makes no difference if they've got more money than anybody in town, the nicest house, their kids are just blah, blah, blah. Makes no difference. The cross wasn't what it appeared to be either. And sometimes when the devil's devouring, it's not what it appears to be. Many are being devoured today because they don't know how to resist the devil. They're sitting in churches not being taught the message of the cross. So they'll never know how to bear theirs. Hosea says this in 4:6. You know the scripture well. My people are destroyed. Who's? God's people. Well, that's Old Testament. Come off that. He had a people then, he's got a people now. In both covenants, they're destroyed the same way. The New Testament says, the preaching of the cross, it's foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are being devoured by the enemy. Because that's what's happening if they won't accept the preaching of the cross. They're being devoured, they're perishing. God said it, I didn't. But to those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. God says, my people are destroyed, that means devoured by the enemy, for lack of knowledge. See, God doesn't wink at ignorance. If you don't know what I'm talking about this morning, you're suffering. You're suffering at the plan and the will of the enemy. Doesn't matter if you're saved or not. Amen, Brother Curtis. You've been there. You've experienced that. So have I. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. There's only one knowledge you can reject that God will reject you. The truth of Jesus and what he would do at Calvary. And most of the church today is rejecting that message. They're rejecting it. That's not what they're using to get people in. Listen, if you don't come here because you heard we're preaching the cross, if you come here looking for smoke and flashing lights, you won't stay long. That's hypnosis. That's man's way to get you in. And they say they do it in the name to get them saved, but when they get them in there, they ain't preaching the gospel either. It's the lights and the fancy and the worldly music that got them in. It wasn't the message. We're drawn nigh by the blood. If I'm drawing somebody, then I got to keep doing what I'm doing to keep somebody. But if I'm drawn now by God, by the blood, then by the blood, God will keep me. We're kept by the power of God through faith, 1 Peter 1:5. But if I'm the one that pulled you in here, then I'm the one responsible for keeping you here. And that just ain't my job. Now, there's lots of Christians who are looking for a preacher with that job. That's why they got to preach over here Sunday morning to make this little segment of folks happy. And then this little segment over here, something different Wednesday night to keep them happy. And then these folks over here, he's just really confused about. He just hopes they'll eventually move over here and become one of these, because God's ministers don't do that. That's a big old Bible, but there's only one message in it. There can be 10,000 sermons, but the message in every sermon better be Christ and what he did at Calvary, or you're leaving without power. You're leaving without having been equipped. You're leaving without being further discipled. You're leaving without what God intended on you having. My people are destroyed. My people are destroyed. You're as a child of God. You can be destroyed. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have experienced the destruction of the enemy because you were ignorant to the truth of the sanctifying process of the cross of Christ. If none of you do, I do myself. And I know y'all do. Ones that say you don't, well, bless your darling heart, you'll catch it one day, hopefully. James 4:7 says this, submit yourself to God. How? Resist the devil. How? Through faith in the cross. And what will he do? Flee from you. God's word says the devil will run from you. God's word says the devil will run from you. I said God's word says the devil will run from you. If you resist him, he runs when you resist him. And the only resistance we have is a daily cross. That's the only thing you can resist. I don't care if you start quoting scripture. I'm just going to quote. Every time I'm attacked by the devil, I'm just going to quote scripture. No, he ain't worried about you quoting scripture. There ain't no man or woman ever lived got anything from God by quoting scripture. Not one. And if you believe you have, you've been duped. And you're a part of the problem the church is in today. We don't get from God by quoting scripture. We get from God by believing what the scriptures say about what his son did for us at Calvary. It is that narrow. It is that narrow. I said it is that narrow. I'm sorry for those who disagree, but I hate it for them because they are being devoured. Devoured. And it will get worse because what the enemy is able to get his hand in, he never stays there in his work, just like you never stay the same when God's working in you. You don't stay the same. If the devil is allowed to begin to devour, he will devour you until you repent and come back to the way of the cross. But if you're going the way of the cross, you're also being changed, but it's for the glory of God. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In the Bible, we've already read it, we resist him in the faith. Paul would, through the writings of the New Testament, tell the church or ask the church to examine themselves, make sure you are in the faith. That means that you're still, you hadn't been dragged off into circumcision now. You hadn't been dragged off in thinking you got to be water baptized to be saved now. You hadn't been dragged off into this thing calling that the words you speak now are now the power of God. Examine yourself to make sure you're still in the faith of the Son of God that loved you and gave himself for you. Because when you add to that, you're out and the enemy's in. And he's not running. Christian, who the devil never stops devouring. You better examine your faith because my God said he will flee from you. Oh, he'll come back, but he will flee from you if you're resisting him in the faith. Those people, the devil never runs and he stays there. He's tearing everything they got up. You better hear me. That ain't just cause of something you know. Oh, he's only able to do that because I know so much. No, he's able to do that because you don't know how to resist him, or you've heard how, but you refuse to. That's what my brother from Baton Rouge, Brother Larson, calls willful ignorance. I choose to ignore what you're saying, preacher. I hear what you're saying. You're even backing it up with scripture, but I'm farther along than you. Yes, you are. You're in a dark and dreary place. Only in a make-believe, vain, imaginative place do you walk with a Jesus that's not mine. And I just happen to be one of those preachers that love you enough to tell you the truth. I'm not getting paid more because of it. I'm getting paid less in the natural. Oh, but the wages in heaven. Oh, but the treasures being laid up in heaven. Lord loves you more than you can imagine, Brother Terry. He loves you more than you can imagine. We can't fathom in our minds the love God has for us and what He's done to prove it. See, our God's not just a God that talks all this stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what the Bible says. Those are the people that make that comment. Yeah, yeah, I know what the Bible says. They ain't looking for God to do nothing. Because that attitude is a doubtful and a wasting away, devoured person who God has already told, don't even think you can receive anything from me. Because you're up one day, you're down the next, you're wishy-washy, you're in the faith, you're out of the faith, you might not even know what the faith is. But a stable man, somebody who says, I don't care what I'm going through, I'm trusting in what Christ did for me at Calvary. That's where He defeated the devil on my behalf. That's where He justified me, sanctified me, redeemed me, and gave me the wisdom of God. I don't need anything else but to learn how to walk in this. Jesus was the most narrow-minded man you will ever know. So when they call you narrow-minded, just begin to shout and praise God. Because it took a narrow-minded man to stay in the narrow way before we ever begin to walk in it. It took him going first and staying committed to this way that he was given to walk in. So when they hate you, remember they hated him first. When you're under attack, remember he was under attack first. And he never lost a battle. He is our victory this morning. The reason you need to take up your cross daily is because if you don't, the devil will devour you. Doesn't matter what you've done for God in the past. Doesn't matter what was in yesterday. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And if you don't, you're as good as devoured. If you're looking for the answers on how to do and what to do and which way to go, it's the way of the cross. If you go the way of the cross, if you'll just settle that in your mind, and that's the first place it's going to have to be settled in your mind. Okay, I see the, the cross is the way, but help me, God. And a desperate crying out. I remember when 10 years ago when I knew this was the way, I had accepted this, but I was crying out to God, but how am I going to preach this the rest of my life? Romans 6, okay, the rest of my life. And God didn't say a word to me. And that was a desperate cry coming out of my heart. God, I know this is right. I just bear witness of this being the truth. But Lord, how am I going to preach this message the rest of my life? And from that point until this day, when I open this book, we can discuss the cross, how it relates to Jesus and what He did at Calvary. That is the definition of growing in the knowledge and the grace, God at work in your life, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a daily growing thing, but the only people who are growing are disciples. The only way to grow is through bearing a cross. We're not growing through a car wreck. We're not growing through this. We're not growing through that. Everybody goes through horrible things, the lost and the saved. Disciples come through victoriously because through it, they're learning from the one they're following. So it's not the car wreck. It's not this. God. It's not that God can't do anything in that, but the only thing He can do in any of that is through the truth you will believe because all His works are done in truth. You see, that narrows this thing down. To the point God gave you that word because He wanted you to see everything else is a waste. Most Christians today will not agree with Psalms 33:4. They will say, well, it's not really talking about that. Preachers have called in bigger ministries trying to tell on me. You got somebody there in Queen City, Texas, trying to tell everybody that God will only do anything in the truth. You hang on to what you want to hang on to. I'm hanging on to the Word of Almighty God. I know who the truth is. And I know what the one who's called the truth did, what he did to become the applicable truth to my life. And because God has kept us for 10 years, those of you who've been here that long, or however long you've been here, hearing this message, listening to Brother Swaggart preach this message, he has grown you and matured you and revealed himself to you in greater ways and taught you things you never knew you would understand. Because the only understanding that you will ever get from God concerning the Scriptures come through your faith in the cross. That's scriptural. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for letting us every day look into your face. Because it's only by your grace we can look into your face and see the wonders of our Heavenly Father. You just want to break down and cry like a baby when sometimes you get just a little glimpse of what you've got. The devil tries to tell you you ain't got nothing. If you did, everybody would fall in line and come eat after it as well. Everybody in town would want this if what you had was real. But the Lord Jesus reminds me this way is very narrow. There's going to be few that find it. And everybody who's trusting in anything but the cross he died on is out of the way. They are out of the way. They're a hindrance to what God is trying to do. Instead of a help, instead of being a co-laborer, they think they're co-laborers by all that they're doing. But it's not about what we're doing, it's about what he did. Stand with me this morning. We have a great Heavenly Father in which there is no guile, there is no wrongdoing, there is nothing but righteousness, nothing but perfection and good. And a love that surpasses our own thoughts and imaginations. And he gave his Son on our behalf. Not just that we might make it into an eternity in heaven with him. Not just that we might have glorified bodies one day and never cry, never hurt. But that we might be one with him. That we might walk with him. He's not given us this great gift of faith that we simply would change the world, but that we would just walk with him. He'll change everything that needs changing. Faith is not given to us, let me say it again, to change the world. It's given to us that we might just walk with him the way he's chosen, that he might perform his word, that he might change all that's going to be changed. And this morning, Lord, we ask you first of all to forgive us. For even though we hear what we've heard, we still tamper with other ministers that refuse to be this narrow. They still get up and give 3 points that if you do this, this, and this, you'll find victory. We still listen to liars because we're finding it hard to break away from those just because we love them. Lord, I pray for the breakaway to be today. For that mind that was in you, that narrow mind, to also be in us. That narrow mind. That we still love the lost. We love your church. We love those who are walking in the way. We love those who are out of the way. We love the backslidden, the lukewarm. We love all the people on the planet, God, because you've given us your love to be able to do so. Yet we don't walk with most. And we only fellowship and walk with those who will come to the cross. For the only ones we can walk with are those who take up their cross daily and truly are following you. For the rest of the crowd refuses to do so. I thank you for revealing this great truth to us today. Even more so, equipping your people to know and have greater assurance that you have provided this way and this particular table to eat from and no other. And I'm not talking about this ministry. I'm talking about what you did at Calvary. For there is the table of our Lord in the presence of our enemies in which they were defeated. There we partake of you. There we resist the devil. There we watch him flee from us one more time. There we know that we're walking with you, trusting in you and there alone. I thank you, Lord, for a people of God who you've been able to bring back to their first works, their first love. And even though it's cost relationships to be torn apart and severed, Lord, you brought us to a place that we literally by your grace can say today that we count it all dung in the past, all for the sake of the excellency of your knowledge. A new knowledge each and every day. Not something different, but just a new greater knowledge of you, the one who gave his life for us. Newness of mercies each day. Newness of more multiplied grace. Newness of knowledge of the same one that saved us. We ask you, Lord God, to have your way in this place this morning. To cause there to be a surrender in each and every heart under the sound of my voice today, that there will be no more valley of decision, but a climbing to the top of the mountain of assuredness. No more valley of decision, but we're making our decision and we're climbing out of this pit today by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the truth. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, the miracle that you have and still are performing in our lives. We thank you for our families, Lord, how you're saving our family members, even working on the ones who it seems are the most hard-headed of all, just like we used to be. We know there's hope because you're still there. And you have us declaring the truth. Therefore, I know you're still drawing. And I pray, God, for a greater boldness to declare your word so there will be even a greater drawing by your Spirit. We thank you for allowing us to be here today to praise your name, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to hear the word of the Lord that surely is right. And all your works are done therein, that truth of your Son. If you need prayer this morning before we rush away,